It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, boppers and film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
And we will have a new item on the blog by the time you hear this. The voice you just heard, he's got blue pride. Colts pride? What are we this week?
We.
Are you Colts
strong? I don't
strong?
Know what the term. Yeah, it was Colts strong and Chuck strong and Colts
although,
strong.
Although, as two of my favorite sports guys in Chicago say, you shouldn't use the strong thing because it started with Lance Armstrong. And he's a cheat and a liar. And he dumped Sheryl Crow. So that's a bad move. Anyway, we also have company. Now, a little later on in the party, this is not the Blues House party. It's Film Sociology. Although, this is HD2 partiness.
Hey, anytime I'm here, it's a party.
That's true. But I'll have my chat with Scott Stulen of the IMA. But we do have one of our regular guests, and I actually asked him to be here. Nobody dropped out. He is here in an official capacity, and he has his own intro.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there.
Right there, Clark.
That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
Hey, I've seen the movie four times.
And there were no words to it.
What are you
there
doing?
Are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Mike Perry's in studio.
Yes. I admit I did it. I wrote the lyrics to that song.
Really?
Yes.
That's
He's
great.
An English
guy. Needs to step up and take blame for that.
You'll take the lyrics to Lawrence
I'll take
of Arabia.
That bullet. You know, your listeners really miss out not having a webcam in here.
That's a scary thought.
To see the vast number of air instruments that are in this studio during the opening.
Well, I like the music from the Warriors. That's a good. We've gone from music from Kill Bill to music from Superfly, and now music from the Warriors. I don't know what the next music will be. That's part of the fun. Anyway, Mike, thank you for hanging out.
Just as long as it's not Let It Go, man. Just...
No, I know. That's all right. That's really okay. But and everything is awesome, apparently. We'll get to the Oscars in just a second. But Scott Stulen, who is the curator of visitor experience and performance, his title is longer than yours, at the IMA, to talk. He'll be on a little later on. I talked with him about the next week's screening at the IMA of Fargo, which is going to be outdoors.
Great.
So there's that. And The Wind Rises, the Miyazaki film The Wind Rises, is happening tonight. The Sosies will be there, and you should be too. Okay, I have to give credit to the Academy Awards for actually doing the nominations on Thursday. Normally it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
And usually in the past, by the time the show rolls around, some of the boil has kind of gone off it and everything. So,
and on Tuesday, we're still basking in the Golden Globe afterglow.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Foreign Press. So every year, of course, I try to do I think right about 8:25 yesterday morning, I wrote, let the obligatory annual online film slash actor got robbed commence, you know, commemorative celebrations commence. So I'll try not to harp too much on what didn't get nominated, Life Itself, and talk about what actually is. Although there's, you know, every year there's always some people that get left out, even though you have eight, you have 10 spots and eight titles for Best Picture. And for me, of course, Life Itself is not one of them. And I think that's a travesty. Of course, it's not up for Best Documentary either.
But, you know, I don't think Ebert would have cared.
No, he, of course he wouldn't have cared. And apparently we now know how members of the Voting Academy feel about director Steve James, who also gave us, I said on No Limits, I think Life Itself should have been the first documentary to be nominated for Best Picture. You could say the same thing, I guess, about Hoop Dreams, mm-hmm. which I thought was outstanding back in 1994. But that didn't get nominated for Best Documentary 20 years ago either. So anyway, so here is the big eight. We have American Sniper, which opened in theaters today, except in the big three.
Yeah, the big trend here is, you know, let's launch it on 7 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah, and so you did that last night?
I did that last night.
Okay, I've been known to do those. Birdman, or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. I'm not going to say that every time. Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Selma, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. And I'm really happy Whiplash got a Best Picture nominee. Yeah. I didn't think it would. I thought maybe J.K. Simmons and maybe some technical stuff. And the screenplay got in, so the IFJA says, you're welcome. but no, I'm really happy about Whiplash. So I guess going back to, if this was 10 years ago, what would your five be?
Ooh.
I would
say American Sniper, Birdman.
Really?
Boyhood. I'd say the first five.
Okay. So Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, and Budapest. I would say Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game, Whiplash. Now, ooh, boy.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
It is hard. And because if you don't, no, I'm not going there. Now, full disclosure, I have not seen Theory of Everything. That's of the eight, that's the one I have missed because the screener I have of it didn't work. And I need to actually go to the theater sometime and check that out. So, I will say this, as far as some of the other categories. So, Mr. Perry, now that the nominations are out, are there, because you are a consumer, are there films that you now are intrigued in seeing because it's gotten some recognition, or now that you're looking out for pictures?
I would like to. I have not seen Whiplash or Imitation Game yet, so I'd like to see both of them.
And I think they're both going to benefit by,
yes.
They're still in theaters, and they're going to get a wider release.
I was kind of surprised that the Grand Budapest Hotel got a nod just simply because it was released back in the spring.
Well, sometimes
it's given people a lot of time to forget about it.
Well, they could say the same thing about Silence of the Lambs back in 1991. But yeah, and I'm really glad. And usually Wes Anderson gets like a screenplay nomination and that's about it. So, and I still think the Grand Budapest Hotel is a fine introduction to Wes Anderson's work. I know he is a very polarizing filmmaker, and I know some folks are really turned off by his dry, kind of leaning up against the back of the room, too cool for school attitude. I don't mind it at all, but
no,
I think
because he is pretty cool.
He is very cool, but I think this is a fun, wacky introduction to his world.
I would argue it's not his best film, but it's certainly a fun film to watch.
Absolutely,
it's great eye candy. It's very colorful, and all the images just pop out at you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it as much as I liked, you know, Moonrise Kingdom.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
And I really liked Moonrise
Kingdom. I do like Moonrise Kingdom. I'm trying to get the child into Moonrise Kingdom.
But it was so nice seeing Ralph Fiennes in a role where you didn't hate him.
You mean the character, not the actor himself.
Yes.
And by the way, he's another one I thought should have got Best Actor. And this is, it's an intriguing five. By the way, nice segue there. Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, which I'm really surprised it got in. He got in. But I guess
I'm really not, because the buzz has been all around.
I know
him
the buzz
for
has
months.
Been on it. I know he can do drama. I'm glad I got to see him do drama. It's an unsettling performance, an unsettling character. I just didn't think it was top five material. I am wrong, of course. Bradley Cooper, of course, for American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch for Imitation Game, Michael Keaton for Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne for Theory of Everything. So by default, I would take out Eddie and put in Rafe. But once I see Theory of Everything, we'll see. And I know right now the early buzz is on Michael Keaton because he's been around a long time. Everybody loves him. It's solid work with him in Birdman. And so, I think it could be a career achievement, even though he's still got a long way to go.
To me, it was like, with all the buzz around Michael Keaton and Eddie Redmayne, you knew they were going to get in. And the three others...
Cumberbatch was kind of due.
I figured Carell would get in. The other two... I was not that impressed with Bradley Cooper's performance when I saw the American Sniper last night.
Uh-huh.
At least not enough to get an award and nomination for it. And I've yet to see Imitation Game, so I'll pass.
Okay. And I can't remember. One of my friends on Twitter wrote his character name from Wedding Crashers. What the heck was it? Anyway, somebody had written, so-and-so from Wedding Crashers now has three Academy Award nominations.
Yeah.
And my response was, the guy from Bosom Buddies says, what's your point? It happens. Best Actress, we have Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night, Felicity Jones, Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Wild is one I probably would have put in a Best Picture category because that was in my top five. Mm-hmm. Still haven't seen Still Alice. Have not seen Still Alice. That will now get a wider release.
Yeah.
And kind of shocked, but I'm glad Rosamund Pike is the lone representative of Gone Girl. I thought that would get more because that was also a film that got in my top 10. And Marion Cotillard, I just dig her. Glad she's gotten back. And now I'm hoping, obviously, 2 Days, 1 Night will get a wider release. It's a solid drama where she's trying to get coworkers to vote on a new labor agreement. And I wish all labor leaders look like her. That being said, it's a really tense drama, and you would think going from house to house asking for people to change their vote, it's very well done.
And you have two previous winners in the category, so that'll
be right.
A pretty interesting race.
That's right. For best supporting actor, it's really J.K. Simmons versus everybody, the rest of the field. Robert Duvall in The Judge, Ethan Hawke in Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher. Nothing wrong with those roles. Kind of surprised Duvall got in. I mean, I think, did you see The Judge?
No.
There's one scene involving, I'm going to word this carefully, where the Duvall character, who's, an older judge and was, a thorn in his son's side, played by Robert Downey Jr., and now he's accused of, the Duvall character is accused of murder. I mean, we've seen kind of the grizzled old coot role done by Duvall, but there is one scene in particular, and it's the one I think about the most with The Judge, besides the fact that it wasn't filmed in Indiana, but a scene where he makes a mess of himself as some older people tend to do, and his son finally helps him out. So there's a very strange, intimate scene where son is helping out father. Meanwhile, there's knocks at the door wondering what's going on in there. So I think, Duvall is an actor who's not afraid to let himself be that vulnerable on camera. I think that's the main one in that. Best Supporting Actress, we have Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman. I can hear Emma whooping. And number, 19? No, I think it's 17. Meryl Streep for Into the Woods. I think folks are leaning on Patricia Arquette.
I am, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think she stole that movie out from under the kid.
That's hard.
Yeah,
it's a solid performance by the young lad.
See, when the movie was over, not only do I want to know what happened to him later on.
Want to know what happened to her?
I want to know what happens to her.
Mm-hmm.
I think her story was every bit as compelling as his. I wish they would do Motherhood and re-edit the movie.
Oh,
over 12
you might
years
give Linklater an idea. So, Cole, can you check and see Ms. Streep's IMDb and check out how many times she's been nominated? I want to say, make sure I have that right. I want to say 16. And Patricia Arquette, of course, comes from a Hollywood family, and she, again, has been solid work for a long time, and she's really, really good in Boyhood. Love Laura Dern, not enough screen time for my taste, but she's very good in it. Keira Knightley is also very good, and Emma Stone's very good. Although, I liked Birdman, I didn't love Birdman. I didn't mind the quote unquote gimmicks of the one single flowing shot, and I didn't mind the score. I know Ed Johnson not hated it. a few of the backstage characters. There is a small subplot of Edward Norton and Emma Stone's character connecting that I think could have gone away.
Yeah,
because there are some standard stock characters in the behind the state in the backstage drama, or in this case the backstage drama comedy. So anyway, but Emma's excited about that. Yeah, Lego Movie doesn't get animated feature, but the song does. However, so you have Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of Princess Kaguga. Sorry. the last three I've not seen. And How to Train Your Dragon 2, I just need to go to the video store and shut up and do that. The other two, of course, I'm hoping will get a wider release, obviously.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with Big Hero 6.
It's a fun, I said when it came out, it's a fun mixture of The Iron Giant, mm-hmm. The Incredibles, and The Big Bang Theory.
So basically you're saying it's got Brad Bird all over it, but it's not from Brad Bird.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll thank him.
I'm still waiting, of course, on The Incredibles 2.
Still incredible.
Still incredible.
I mean, yeah, something. I mean, do we really need a Toy Story 4 before we get to an Incredibles 2?
Okay, but after that I'm done with sequels.
Yeah.
Because we've had enough of those.
Yeah.
So... You all right there, Cub?
The count is at 16.
16.
Oh.
Okay, thank you. I thought I was right.
Do we need to go through them? Or?
Yeah, go through them because you're there.
Okay.
Folks, ladies and gentlemen, do you remember?
Let's start. 1979 nominated Best Actress in Supporting Role for The Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
81 Best Actress, Kramer versus Kramer. 82
One.
Nominated French Lieutenant's Woman.
Yep.
83 she won for Best Actress in Sophie's Choice.
State film.
Mm-hmm. And then... The nominations, 84, Silkwood, 86, Out of Africa, 88, Ironweed, 89, Evil Angels, 91, Postcards from the Edge.
Whoa, 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 Evil Angels?
Best Actress in a Leading Role, Evil Angels, 1989.
Are you sure that's not television?
It says nominated for an Oscar.
Hold on, I'm going to come over there and look. Keep going.
1991, Postcards from the Edge, 1996, Bridges of Madison County, 1999, One True Thing, 2000, Music of the Heart. 2003, Adaptation, 2007, The Devil Wears Prada, 2009, Doubt, 2010, nominated Julie and Julia, 2012, she won The Iron Lady, 2014, August, Osage County, and 2015, nominated Into the Woods.
Ah, wait a second, I think I know it.
The suspense is killing me, guys.
Ah, nah, I knew I was right. Evil Angels apparently is the alternative title for A Cry in the Dark.
Oh, okay.
Yes, The Dingo Ate My Baby. Ha. See, I'm not completely...
Now it makes
I am
sense.
I am the host. So, there. You are not wrong, Kobe. You were doing your job. You were reading what was on the screen. Anyway, so... And by the way, Meryl was the best thing, I think, about Into the Woods. Which I really...
My wife saw it, and she really liked it. I didn't go for some reason. I think I was still feeling poorly.
I'm glad you're on the mend.
Yeah, thank you.
But, I mean, we've seen Meryl Streep sing before, Postcards from the Edge, and, of course, the celebrity Oki that is Mamma Mia. But this time she got to really – she had music that she could really sink her teeth into with Sondheim. So really enjoyed her in that. Kobe, is Fair Sweet Bianca interested in Into the Woods? Or does she have to be in the mood for it?
She was, but then she wasn't upon hearing that it's more of an opera than a musical.
Okay.
So there you go.
What about Anne?
She doesn't like talk singing.
Oh, that's Ed Johnson out. He doesn't like talk singing either. So Les Mis is out?
She likes Les Mis, though,
but
for some reason.
But that's
I don't
talk
know.
Singing. So yeah. Those are exceptions to the rule.
I guess.
Once again, we should bother your wife at work. Hey, what about this?
just call. Hey, what are you... Okay, we'll talk to you later. Okay.
Hi,
what do you think about this?
One of the partners is here right now. I can't. So that's when you know when the partners is just giving you short answers. Yes. No. Later. Later. All right. So let's see what else we have. Yeah, Everything is Awesome is up for Best Song. Glory from Selma. Grateful from Beyond the Lights. I'm Not Gonna Miss You from Glenn Campbell. I'll Be Me, the documentary. And Lost Stars from Begin Again, which I really liked.
Best song?
Yeah, for best song. You saw it. Yeah, that's right. You did see. Yeah, that's the
There's
song.
There's better songs in there than that song, though.
This is the Keira Knightley. Right?
Yes.
One in the club.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine.
Keira Knightley and
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she's playing solo and he starts to envision,
That was really cool.
It is kind of a cheesy moment, but it's really effective. Where he starts sitting there and starts imagining strings and Kobe on drums. And
the Los Band.
Keira Knightley with special guest Kobe Slagle y his Los Band. If you see us on the street, ask us about our morning talk show with Ingrid Hoffman. So yeah, looking at some of the and when it gets closer, I know it's February 22nd, which means February 20th we'll have our knockdown drought, entertainment purposes only Oscar picks. So don't gamble juniors college money on our picks or Frank's for that matter. So I still need to see obviously The Theory of Everything. Really hoping Mr. Turner gets a wider release, the Mike Leigh film. And there was also talk that Timothy Spall should have been up for Best Actor. I would like to see that because I dig Timothy Spall and I like Mike Leigh's work. You know, I'm hoping more people check out Boyhood. It's now out on DVD and Blu-ray. Obviously, Whiplash will probably get a wider release. Imitation Game will get a wider release in theaters. Yeah, I think so. I think Foxcatcher will probably get a wider release because of these awards. So, yes, you didn't hear me griping to myself and not necessarily entirely on social media yesterday, but my number one film from last year is still Life Itself, and I am unanimous in that. So,
I'm really kind of surprised that Grand Budapest is nominated.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I liked it. It was nice to look at, but to me, it wasn't this, you know, earth-moving art piece, think piece.
But I think the best pictures don't have to be. I think, you know, remember the last... Anybody remember the last comedy to win Best Picture?
The Artist?
You call that a comedy?
Musical or comedy?
Drama, yeah,
I'd say that's a drama.
Did that win?
It's a dramedy. It did win.
That won.
I was thinking of Annie Hall from 1977. That's a comedy. That's a full-blown comedy.
I would call The Artist a comedy.
Okay. We quibble over terms. It's a silent movie. It ain't a comedy.
Okay, nobody's, you two, break it up.
All right, nobody has said that. At least we hope nobody has ever said that.
Comedy, drama, romance.
So it's a...
Says IMDb.
It's everything.
So it's a dramedy ants.
Yes.
But that's not a comedy. That's a combination.
It's not a drama.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I stand corrected on that part. On that point, counselor. All right. But I think also a film that's going to obviously benefit from yesterday, of course, is American Sniper, which opened yesterday. Bradley Cooper's up for Best Actor. It's up for Best Picture. No, Clint and the Chair did not get Best Director. Actually, wait a minute. Where is the Best Director down there? That's true. Before we get to that... I love this hard-hitting stuff here on radio.
It's,
yeah, would you? Oh, thank you. Oh, there it is. Yes. Yes, Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, Imitation Game. That's a pretty solid five. That's a pretty solid quintet. Okay, so this is the American Sniper, of course, is about Chris Kyle, which is the Bradley Cooper character, who is recorded to have been the most lethal sniper in American history.
Yeah.
Not just world history. So, and Cooper's portrayal, according to the film, he's one of these 9/11 veterans, soldiers that as soon as 9/11 happened, he immediately went to enlist and wanted to do his part. And so we see, you know, apparently Mr. Cooper put on 40 pounds of muscle. It shows.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, ladies. Hi, Gina. But we get to see him go through training and then out in the field. In fact, the opening scene, which is used in the trailer, which I thought was a bold move, it addresses the gray area that is that job immediately with a grown woman and a child walking out of a building while under surveillance and under the watchful eye of Bradley Cooper's character. And we see his character go through, I think, four tours, if I remember right. And for me, they capture that stuff really well. Eastwood's, you know, what, 80, and he's still directing solid, solid film. This is his second film in 2014, obviously. And he's obviously very competent behind the camera still, and it shows. There's some very tense moments in this. There's some very tense fighting scenes in this. It's not a perfect film. I think there's, for me, there's not enough time with his wife, played by Sienna Miller.
That's exactly what I was thinking last
night. I could have used some more of that. I mean, would I have mind the film being longer if you had more scenes with at home? I would say yes. Yeah. There are moments, they're alluded, but I think the balance of him being home and then having to go. I mean, I think they could have expanded on that a little more.
Yes.
I would have stayed with it. I would have stayed with it. In fact, maybe if he, there's a weird section in the middle where Chris Kyle comes across his quote unquote rival, mm-hmm. which feels like an action movie. It feels like a Michael Bay film. And I thought that section could have been taken out and then we could have had more of him at home. But it's a solid performance from Cooper. It's a low key performance compared to what we've seen before. And now that we've seen him do serious material like American Hustle and Silver Linings Playbook, this is a guy who has trouble expressing himself, which a lot of soldiers, and especially in a job of his, right. You're not allowed to show.
Yeah, I came away from it feeling much like you did. I thought they kind of shortchanged the home scenes, and really the only, except for him not being as jovial as he was when he and his wife were dating, I didn't see a whole lot of change. I mean, he was a little more serious, but they didn't really hammer home the point that this was really affecting his home life and his family as much as I would like to have.
Yeah, I mean, there's one particular scene at a party at a barbecue, for me not enough.
Yeah.
And now there's two, I'm still recommending the film, and I'm putting I'm saying I think you should check it out. I'd love to see what people say about this film, and I want them to see Bradley Cooper's performance and Sienna Miller's performance, and the fact that I have a soft spot for filmmakers 70 or an older or 60 and older still pumping out quality material. The ending is a bit abrupt. You kind of get blindsided a little bit with the ending. It's almost like the rug gets pulled out from under you. And when I first saw it, I knew nothing about the character. I knew right. nothing about Chris Kyle going in. I think I'd heard the name, but didn't do any research. And this is a film that some of you might want to go and do research with. My colleague Ed Johnson out at Nuvo goes into this in his review, as a few others. It almost goes into A Beautiful Mind territory. I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Because
I think that's fair.
And I think what happens in real life, and again, I'm not reviewing this guy's life, I'm reviewing the film. But there's a lot of stuff that happened in Chris Kyle's life that's not mentioned in the film, and that's not its job. But I think if you know this, it might taint your image of the film itself. Mm-hmm. And so once I started doing research on some other aspects of Kyle's life, I sort of understood why there was kind of a rug pull at the end, I think. I think so. Yeah.
Not wanting to give away the ending.
Not wanting to give away the ending
if you don't know it. The ending kind of surprised me, too.
It does come really quickly, and I thought that could have been something that could have been fleshed out a little bit more. Mm-hmm. If you really wanted to go for a full operatic moment, and I think I've already given away too much. But that being said, I always think if a film, whether you like it or don't like it, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, if you go and do research on it immediately, whether it's JFK or any film by Michael Moore, if you just want to check and see if he's right or if he's wrong or if the filmmaker's right or wrong, then I think the film has more than done its job. And I think American Sniper does that.
Yeah. Like I said, his performance is much more low key than what we've seen him in recently. Maybe that's tainted my opinion of his performance in this a bit. I thought it was flatter than I would have expected from him,
mm-hmm.
especially towards the end of the movie.
Right.
I thought the battle scenes were about, they weren't necessarily the Hurt Locker tense, but some of them are.
There's some tense moments.
There are some pretty tense moments in there, and some situations that really make you squirm a little bit.
Agreed.
But I thought it was a fine film. I don't think it's Cooper's best.
No.
It's a good, solid performance, and I would recommend the movie to anybody.
There you go.
Now that was a good movie.
Indeed. Also opening in theaters today is Black Hat, the new film from Michael Mann with Chris Hemsworth. And Michael Mann, it's funny. I especially wanted to see this because I like Michael Mann. I was intrigued that he had a film released in January. He's usually more of a higher profile. And I know at the very least, it's going to look cool. I would say find the best theater that's in town to go see a Michael Mann film. So you expect a, you know, handheld, digital, not glossy, but just use of color and shadows and members of the shadows. It's a cool looking film. Hemsworth plays a hacker who's in prison, who is brought out by the government to go after a global hacker who has done a nuclear fallout, helped cause a nuclear fallout, as well as meddling with the stock exchange. So we go from America to Asia and world travels. And the thing about Michael Mann, kind of like David Fincher, kind of like Bennett Miller, he loves detail. If you think about films like Heat and Miami Vice, mm-hmm. and The Insider, it's a lot about the almost daily grind. And the first half of the film takes a little time than I would like to get things rolling. There is of course a lot of hot, heavy downloading action because it's a computer hacking. I also tend to think that Michael Mann's films tend to be cold, tend to be a little distant, maybe a little stark, despite its technical aspects. If you think about the films I've already mentioned, or Collateral, mm-hmm. they're usually cold characters. What really helps in a Michael Mann film is if you have a solid performance, whether it's De Niro and Pacino in Heat, or Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx in Collateral, or even Johnny Depp in Public Enemies, which I liked that film until it turned into The Passion of the Gangster,
right,
the last half hour of the picture. And Chris Hemsworth, as much as we kind of like him, doesn't have a whole lot to do. I mean, there's some fight scenes, and then there's the red-hot downloading action. And yes, ladies, shirt comes off a few times.
Because I know how hot and bothered I get when I'm waiting for something to download.
Exactly.
Yeah. The shirt comes off. I'm sorry.
Okay, that scene doesn't quite happen. Not entirely. So there's not a whole lot for him to do. Viola Davis is in this as one of the superiors, and she adds a little bit of fire. Not as much as I would like, but she's there to bounce off him a little bit. There is a love triangle between Hemsworth's roommate, who is now a part of the government, and his roommates and the sister. So there's not really a love triangle because it's siblings and him. The second half of the film, when it starts to become a little more, and yes, this time it's personal, when it's more than just checking screens and following and tracking, and, you know, there are, like I said, there are some very loud and very long shootouts, not as long as Heat, and there are some car chases, and there's some stabbings and some fightings. It's just an uneven picture. And I think with Michael Mann, I think he set the bar, well, I set the bar a little high for him because I enjoy watching his films for the most part. I expect a triple or a home run. I expect extra bases from him as a director, and then this one,
sure. he just shagged a single.
A little uneven. Yeah, it was. all those cliches that Kevin Costner brought up in Bull Durham, you know, came with, anyway. So yeah, matinee. I think Mike that said it's 2 hours of your life, and then you feel better and you go on.
Yeah.
Do we have that? Not right now.
It's a.
You thought you were just going to listen to us gab for an hour, right?
Man, I didn't think they were actually going to make me work.
Ooh. Oh,
man.
Oh, that's terrible. Let's move on. Okay, if you find it, that's great. Also new, Kobe. You can't do that because you're looking.
It's a nice way to spend 2 hours in a movie theater that you won't wish you got back.
There you go.
In this case, that film is about 2:15. Also in theaters today, Paddington, which I'm kind of nervous about seeing.
The trailers look appropriately creepy.
Yeah. And it's not the Deadeye thing. The Deadeye animation doesn't bother me. I really like the Paddington Bear stories from when I was a child. And there were short features. There were short animated films of Paddington back in the old incarnation of Nickelodeon on the show Pinwheel. Yeah, I'm that old. So I really like Curious George. It's like Clifford. I just don't want to mess it up. But when I'm seeing in the trailers, you know, flooding of bathrooms and Q-tips and ears and things like that. I was like, it makes me nervous. Although Peter Capaldi's in it, so he won't say nasty things to the bear. But I'm sure I will eventually see it, but I'm a little nervous. And then The Wedding Ringer, what, the 25th film starring Kevin Hart in the last year?
Yeah.
But I will say this. This film has one thing going for it. It's a film where Josh Gad is engaged to Kaylee Cuoco. So there's that.
So,
Thank you.
So, Josh, you're our hero today.
Yeah, you are our hero today. Kobe, what is happening at your alma mater?
This weekend.
Yes.
IU Cinema. Tonight, 6:30 in the... Actually, this is really cool. It's part of two different series at IU Cinema. The International Art House series, but also in the Direct from the Heartland Film Festival series. This is real cool. IU Cinema partnering with our guy, Greg Sorvig, at Heartland Film Festival.
Hi, Greg.
Uzumasa Limelight from 2014.
You said that fast, so you weren't sure you were mispronouncing. I do the same.
Uzumasa Limelight, Direct from the Heartland Film Festival tonight at 6:30. A action, adventure, comedy, drama, foreign language film from last year. Mm-hmm. Follow that up at 9:30 with Human Capital, foreign language drama from last year as well. Saturday, January 17th, in the City Lights film series from 1960, La Dolce Vita.
Yes, the tribute to Anita Ekberg, mm-hmm. who passed away on the 11th.
And then also follow that up at 7 o'clock with the Direct from the Heartland Film Festival, Siddharth, foreign language drama from 2014. And then Sunday, January 18th, 3 o'clock, Fur, an Imaginary Portrait of Diane Arbus.
With Nicole Kidman.
From 2006.
Yep.
And Human Capital again at 6:30. There you go. You want to talk about Razzies?
Oh, yeah. We should get to the Razzies, shouldn't we? Well, I would say you mentioned Anita Ekberg. Besides La Dolce Vita, some of the other films, she was in War and Peace in 1956. She was apparently a guard of Venus in Abbott and Costello Go to Mars in 1953. Blood Alley with John Wayne, Hollywood or Bust. So she got with Jerry Lewis a couple of times. I'll get to that. Hollywood or Bust, Man in the Vault, Paris Holiday, The Man Inside, La Dolce Vita. We mentioned The Mongols, Four for Texas.
She was. I remember that.
Remember that? Yep.
Yeah.
Who Wants to Sleep? The Alphabet Murders from 1966. This film is god awful, and she worked with Jerry Lewis in Way Way Out. So The Divorce. Deadly Trackers, Queen Margot, and so on and so forth. Okay, the Razzies, yes. We'll kind of plow through these quickly. This is the first time in a long time I've not seen any of the Worst Picture nominees, and I'm thankful for that. Because something else opened the weekend.
I haven't even seen the nomination yet.
These five films had something else open that week, and I saw that instead. Okay, here's your Worst Picture nominees for the Razzies. Kirk Cameron, Saving Christmas.
No.
Left Behind, yes, the Nicolas Cage remake of a Kirk Cameron film. The Legend of Hercules, not the Dwayne Johnson one, the one from earlier this year. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Transformers Age of Extinction.
I successfully avoided all those.
Yes, so your worst actor, Nicolas Cage for Left Behind, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas, Kellan Lutz for The Legend of Hercules, Seth MacFarlane for A Million Ways to Die in the West, and Adam Sandler for Blended.
Well, Seth MacFarlane could win that.
Lots of people don't like him. Worst Actress, Drew Barrymore for Blended, Cameron Diaz for The Other Woman and Sex Tape, Melissa McCarthy for Tammy, Charlize Theron, A Million Ways to Die in the West, and Gia Weiss for The Legend of Hercules.
That'll be a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, Charlize was definitely slumming.
Yeah. I think Cameron Diaz, maybe.
Maybe, because that was a pretty bad movie, I thought.
At least Melissa McCarthy had St. Vincent to bounce back from. And this year they have a new category, the Razzie Redeemer Award, where somebody who has been multiple nominee are actually doing good work this year, so they have a redemption. I'm intrigued. So for the annual, the first ever, inaugural, I should say, Ben Affleck,
Okay. Yeah.
You know, going from Geely and Pearl Harbor to producing Argo and The Town, that's not bad. Jennifer Aniston, who a lot of people thought should have been up for Best Actress this year for Cake, but apparently that film didn't get a wide enough release.
Well, maybe people still have the bad taste of Where the Millers in their mouth.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I'm not going there. Mike Myers for just about everything he's done since Wayne's World. And he's got he was a producer or director of a documentary. Keanu Reeves because of John Wick, which I still need to see. I actually read decent things about it.
Surprisingly good.
Surprisingly? Okay. Surprisingly
I was surprised how much I liked it.
And as much as Stacey Studeville doesn't want to hear this, Kristen Stewart, who is in an art film.
Six-time Razzie winner.
Six-time Razzie winner. For, and it's for your wife's films.
For Twilight to the art house hit Camp X-Ray.
Yeah, Camp X-Ray, and she's in Still Alice with Julianne Moore. So anyway, I'll be intrigued to see who gets that. Okay, let's go to a few titles on DVD and Blu-ray. Good timing for this. Hopefully more people will check out Gone Girl, now that it's out. A Walk Among the Tombstones. This is the Liam Neeson film that's not an over-the-top ridiculous action movie.
Right.
It's a solid detective story, and not enough people got to see it, and that kind of bums me out.
I really like that movie.
As did I.
And then I took in Taken 3 and
why did you do that?
I was taken.
Jimmy All Is By My Side. That's the one with Andre Benjamin as Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, he kind of, it's like Get On Up where he sounds like him. He's got the vocals down. There's no music. Well, there is music, but it's not from the Hendrix library. Apparently Dad was not thrilled with the film. So there's a lot of blues and instrumental jams. It's basically Hendrix's life from the time he goes to England to the time he comes back at the end for Monterey. So it's only about before Are You Experienced was released. But Waddy Wachtel, if I'm saying that right, and Kenny Aronoff are two of the musicians that recreate Hendrix songs for the soundtrack.
Kenny Aronoff.
He's Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I knew that. No, because I knew he played with John. I couldn't remember if he was a native.
I think he is.
Well, he is our. We have made him one of our own.
I have met him.
Touche. I have seen him. I have seen him in concert.
As have I.
But you've already done that. You should have started with the concert, and then I would have countered, and then you could have hit me with that. But you went right for the throat.
Yeah.
That's good.
Sometimes I got to do that.
I understand. one of my favorite fun bad films from last year, The Identical. This is the one about the twins who are separated. One becomes a rock and roll star who's not Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
And the other one becomes the son of a preacher man, and everyone keeps telling him he looks like this singer who's not Elvis.
Man, I thought I scrubbed my brain of that one. Thank you.
No, that's it. That's Get Drunk and Watch Bad. And Men, Women, and Children from Jason Reitman, who earlier this year gave us Labor Day, which Chris Lloyd and I actually liked. And this is a very heavy-handed story about the evils of technology and the internet. Ooh.
Adam Sandler.
Yes. Yeah. He's actually okay in it. He plays a half of a married couple where each he, of course, likes to look at things on the internet, as does his son. And Sandler decides to go on to an online dating service, as does his wife, but not together. You get it?
Oh, gee. I wonder what happens next.
And then you have the teenagers who get together because of social media, and then you have one who has size issues, and what happens when you hook up with a guy and then people brag about it online. You have Judy Greer as a bad stage mom who takes questionable photos of her daughter for her website to get acting jobs. And Jennifer Garner, who's a cartoon of a character who's wearing glasses to show she's serious and monitors her daughter's phone and web like George Orwell. Well, no. Not from 1984. And is basically holding, the only thing missing is her holding up a sign going, technology is evil. Not a fun show. Not a fun show at all. And for Oscar things that are out, old titles are out on Blu-ray, My Left Foot, Dances with Wolves, and some titles that weren't up for Oscars.
I might be tempted to get Dances with Wolves. It's out on Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Goodfellas because that still should have won Best Picture. Yeah, folks, 25 years ago, haven't let go.
Yeah, he's still bitter.
Nope. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is my chat with IMA's Curator of Visitor Experience and Performance, Scott Stulen, to talk about next Friday's outdoor screening of Fargo. So, Scott, explain to us your title, Curator of Visitor Experience and Performance.
It's a new position here at the IMA, so I was kind of brought in to start a new division, and kind of what that actually means in a real-world sense is that I curate, and I basically curate everything that isn't an object here. So that's the film programming, that's music programming, dance performance, but it's also all the other events and different kind of experiences that we're creating at the IMA. So a lot of my job is to kind of make the campus more interesting, more fun, more playful, and then connect people with the objects that we have here throughout the campus.
Film canisters are an object. I'm already calling shenanigans on your job.
Well, that's true. There is a little bit of objectness to that. Maybe time-based. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that's a good save. Now, I know you guys have already started the Winter Night film series with O Brother, Where Art Thou? And then The Wizard of Oz and Spirited Away, of course. But you have something very special next weekend for Fargo. First, before we talk about that, because you're from Minnesota, what does the film Fargo mean to you?
Quite a bit. So, yeah, I'm originally from Minnesota, and I'm recently moved here. So we came here last March. And I will say that when we left Minnesota last March, there was about 4.5 feet of snow on the ground, and it was about 5 below. And by the time we hit the middle of Illinois, there was no snow, and 40 degrees here felt very tropical. So everything is relative. So, but I do have a Minnesota background in Fargo. Yeah, it has a special place, I think, for a lot of Minnesotans, not only because the Coen brothers are from Minnesota, so, and it definitely obviously references Minnesota culture in a very playful way. I think Minnesotans either embrace that film or at times maybe have some problems with it because they feel like it enhances a certain stereotype. I'm definitely one that embraces it, and I think it is just really kind of hilarious, and I will say that there's more truth in that film than people would like to admit at times.
I can see that.
Other than the murdering thing.
Well,
but more than...
Well, you know, it is based on a true story, and that's actually one of the what, every other film is based on a true story, and this is one I actually cared about.
Right.
So what are you folks doing with Fargo at the IMA?
Well, we wanted to make it a little bit different, so make it a little bit more of an immersive experience and, I guess, playing a little bit off of my Minnesota heritage and bringing it here and... to instead of kind of running away from the elements in the winter is embracing it. So we thought it'd be interesting to actually screen the film outside in January and just kind of take on the cold and anything that may come with that and watch the film in that kind of really unique atmosphere. So we're not only screening the film outside, but we're also going to be doing a lot of activities wrapped around that. So we're going to be having a Speak Like a Minnesotan contest, Minnesota accent contest, a Minnesota dress contest, a Minnesota trivia contest. Working on trying to get Minnesota beer. It's proving to be a little tougher than I thought, but we're still working on that. And then we also are going to have a unique thing that if you can prove with some sort of hard evidence, so a driver's license, some bill, something like that, that you ever lived in Minnesota or either Dakotas, you're going to get not only half-price admission, but you're going to have some VIP seating for the event.
All right, what does dress like a Minnesotan mean? What does that mean?
My staff would say just dress like I do every day, so it's like jeans and work boots and a flannel shirt, which is a good start. But I think that can be a lot of different things. I think there's this total kind of Paul Bunyan, Northwoods kind of look that's kind of synonymous with Minnesota. It also could be like dressed like you're going to a hockey game or out to your fish house. Either of those are fine. I'm kind of leaving that up to people's interpretation about how they may want to think about that. And the film offers a lot of hints towards what that might look like.
So like, you know, dressing in your Gophers, you're either North Stars or your Wild jersey you're in.
Exactly. And the Wild are unfortunately embarrassing over the last couple of months. But yes, you could do that.
What about a discount for pregnant sheriffs?
I think there has to be that, and I would say if any pregnant sheriffs show up, I will not only give them a discount, I will figure out some other exclusive VIP package that we've never had before.
And stamp artists.
Yes, and stamp artists too, but they have to bring the stamp art to prove. I'm not going to just take their word for it.
Now, will you be serving pancakes from Pancakes House?
No, but I think it's a great idea, and I think we may have to think about that. And, when you mention that, it makes me think of the Dave Chappelle episode when Prince is making pancakes because of Prince's Minnesota connection, too. So maybe we could have a Prince interpreter or an impersonator make pancakes. That maybe be nice.
Oh, those are really long guitar solos during the film.
That's true.
So when you presented this to the board, how did they respond?
You know, I kind of was expecting this kind of like, what in the world are you thinking? And there's been a little bit of that. I mean, overwhelmingly, people have like thought it was a great idea, really have embraced this along with other ideas of these kind of immersive experiences here. I think the most common response is, that's a great idea. I won't come, but that's a great idea. But I think as we're getting closer to the event, a lot of people are just really intrigued by it. I think they want to kind of, you know, embrace this this experience of being there. And I have a feeling that this will be one of those events that a lot more people will say they were there than actually showed up. But we'll see. But I think, you know, people are really like the idea. They think it's kind of fun and playful. And I think really turning a cinema experience here at the IMA into something more than just watching the film.
Well, two things that come to mind when I heard you guys were doing this. One was the Winter Classic, of course, mm-hmm. watching hockey outside. And then even, I think there's at least one in Las Vegas. I'm sure there are others in casino cities, but an ice bar.
Yes, yes. And so I think there's a lot of examples of how people have kind of embraced the elements and, you know, turn this into the winter being a unique place you can do something you can't do other times a year. And, you know, in some of my past, you know, places that I've worked, we've done that on a couple of occasions. So there actually in Minnesota is a festival that takes ice houses and turns them into artist projects and makes it into a little city out on the ice for 3 weeks. I've been part of that. And then also for one project, we built an igloo and did concerts for three musicians and then two audience members at a time, and then turn that into a recording studio and actually record an album out in the igloo. So I think at times you just need to embrace the cold and actually use it as an opportunity to do something you can't normally do. And that's really was kind of the inspiration behind doing Fargo outside.
That sounds dangerously similar to Tiny Igloo Concert. NPR might be a calling. Just warning
they
you.
They might. It's really close. Maybe we can collaborate.
Now, I guess for those who are still hesitant, will there be space heaters or those giant heat lamps?
Yes. So those that are kind of on the fence and really worried about, like, seriously hurting themselves out in the cold, we are going to have space heaters out there. We also are encouraging people to bring their own, bring chairs, bring blankets, bundle up. I'm working on a little list of things on how to watch an outdoor film in Minnesota that we're going to be sending out.
A survival kit?
Yeah, it'll be kind of a survival kit. So, like, you know, how you, like, double up mittens and, like, dress in layers and things of that nature. And then we also are going to be serving hot drinks out there. So cocoa and coffee. We're going to probably have some adult beverages as well. So I think it'll be a very comfortable environment to watch a film.
And no wood chipper.
And no wood chipper. Yeah. No wood chipper.
For the ice.
Right, correct.
Okay, so I'm looking at the rest of the schedule because here at Film Sociology, we were cracking up about the hearing that. So we thought, you know, did you guys drop a house during Wizard of Oz?
We did. You know what we did for Wizard of Oz? We actually showed beforehand as we did the Pink Floyd mashup with Wizard of Oz.
Oh, so, college people everywhere were very excited, I'm sure.
And it kind of holds up. Kinda. And that's what we did for Wizard of Oz.
Is any more than, say, watching Strange Brew and listening to 2112?
Right, exactly.
So let's see. Following Fargo, you have A Hard Day's Night, so I guess you'll bring Paul's grandfather in.
That's the plan. And if he says no, we're going to do music trivia that night. So we're going to do kind of like really hardcore team-based music trivia.
Okay, and then a leopard for Bringing Up Baby, running
Correct.
Up and down the aisles? Okay.
Yep.
You're sinking a ship on A Fair to Remember.
Absolutely.
And it's shorter than Titanic. Now, Peter Pan, no, you actually have a legitimate extra attraction to Peter Pan.
We do.
1924.
We're doing something special, yeah, for that. So we actually are commissioning a new score, and the Chamber Orchestra, the Indianapolis Chamber Orchestra, will be performing that night. So it's actually a new score to the classic silent film Peter Pan that will be performed live that evening.
And then you'll strap a 60-year-old woman with a pixie haircut to fly around.
Yep, I'm working on sourcing that, so if you have any connections, let me know.
I do know the theater community. And then finally, for Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Bridge of Death, Killer Rabbit, Trojan Rabbit.
A little of each. So we're going to do what we're calling Grail Crafts. So we're going to have people make their own chalices and Killer Rabbits beforehand. And then that's one that I don't think I even need to say it because people will come dressed up for it anyway. That's part of the fun.
Will there be coconuts?
There is going to be coconuts. The plan is that we're going to have people ushered into the theater with their coconut escort.
Okay. Make sure I get in the Castle Anthrax section.
Absolutely.
See, Kobe, you did like our ideas. We should go to more IMA meetings and come up with these publicity stunts. So
drop a house.
Well, yeah. So we need Paul's grandfather next week. No, 2 weeks. And then we need a leopard. And then a ship. and then a 60-year-old woman with a pixie haircut, and we'll need coconuts and a killer rabbit.
I was going to check the weather on that.
Yeah, we will see. I'm intrigued about seeing Fargo outside at the IMA. Thanks to Scott Stulen for chatting with us on that.
You know, I think I'd just stay home and turn the heat off.
Well, anybody can do that. Not everybody can go to the IMA. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I'll also check in with my Smarter Two Thirds. Once again, shameless plug, the Soce family will be at Spirited Away tonight. Hopefully, come up and say hi. It'll be a lot of fun. What, you already looked at the weather forecast? I don't trust you because you're not named Angela.
Well, looking... looking that far ahead... Well, at this point,
yes.
On Friday.
This is what we need, week ahead.
A week away, we're looking at 33 degrees and clear.
All right, as Sir Charles would say, not tourable.
Not tourable.
Okay,
I've
so
got that somewhere.
I know you do. We have other dead people we like because we don't have time for dead people we don't like. Cinematographer Takeo Saito, who died on December 6th at the age of 85, and I have not gotten to him yet, but best known, did a lot of Kurosawa films. So he was the cinematographer on High and Low, which I always tell people, if you liked the Ron Howard film Ransom, High and Low is the originator of it.
Okay.
Great film. The Lost World of Sinbad and 500,000, both starring Toshirô Mifune. 500,000 directed by Toshirô Mifune. The Kurosawa films Redbeard, Dostoken, Kagamusha, which was the first Kurosawa film I got to see in theaters. He got an Oscar nomination for cinematography in Ron, and I think he should have won it that year. Also, Dreams, Rhapsody of August, and Kurosawa's final film, Madadayo. Madadayo. My Japanese is terrible. Sorry. But it was Kurosawa's last film. Producer Samuel Goldwyn Jr., best known for these are films that he got to produce, going all the way back to films like The Shark Fighters, The Young Lovers, Cotton Comes to Harlem.
There you go.
Come Back Charleston Blue. I'm still waiting for that to come out on Blu-ray. The Golden Seal. He was an executive producer on the Lauren Hutton vampire movie Once Bitten with a young Jim Carrey. A Prayer for the Dying, Fatal Beauty, Mystic Pizza, The Program, Stella, The Preacher's Wife, underrated comedy. Denzel should do more comedy. Tortilla Soup, received a Best Picture nomination for being the producer of Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Really,
good film.
They built
great
a
film.
Damn ship
yeah.
for that movie. And his last production credit came last year or so in the Ben Stiller version of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And then finally, comic and that guy, Taylor Negrin. Passed away. The first thing I saw him in, and apparently it was like the third thing he had ever done, he's the pizza delivery guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. So as you see that, oh yeah, that guy. I know he was in the you do that. You do that very well, Kobe. You're of an age. But yeah, Detective School in 1979, which I'm just starting to read up on. He was in the Gong Show movie, Young Doctors in Love, Easy Money, uncredited in Johnny Dangerously, Better Off Dead, Bad Medicine, One Crazy Summer. My God, that's pretty much HBO right then and there. River's Edge.
That's how I know this guy.
Yeah.
I was there for the early days of HBO.
The Whoopi Boys, River's Edge, which is now out on Blu-ray. Punchline. So much other stuff. The Last Boy Scout, Stuart Little, Nothing But Trouble. He had a great bit in The Aristocrats. You know, as soon as you go, do a search on him and look him up. But
Of TV credits.
A lot of TV credits. So fine stuff there. And yes, Pauly Shore is dead. That's the title of the movie he was in. So thank you, Taylor. Salute.
Darn, I was hoping that would be a headline.
No, it's not a headline. So, Mr. Perry, have you seen anything new recently besides American Sniper?
I did catch Boyhood last weekend.
Enjoy it?
I did. The best place to see it is in your living room, so thank you for on demand. It is a long movie, but it's well worth the time. And some great performances, Patricia Arquette and the young man whose name I forget. What is his name? The boy.
In Boyhood. Or is it?
Mason.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jar.
Yeah. But
Cobe, how are things at the Slagle House for Jackie Brown 2015?
Still working on it.
Still working on it?
So I haven't put forth that proposal yet. But I'm working on it.
We love you, Bianca.
Double feature.
Double feature.
Foxy Brown followed by Jackie Brown.
and I'll be there to provide commentary. Not during the film. That would be weird.
Robert Osborne style.
I will do it Robert Osborne style. Not Robert Irvine style. That's a different... These snacks are frozen. They're garbage. All right, ladies and gentlemen, words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Sorry, Robert.
Zardoz has spoken.
Hey, go see a good movie. There's plenty out there. You have no excuse.
Go see a big picture, a best picture nominee.
There you go. Go see something that's nominated. Go look for stuff. It's out there. And hopefully see, you deserve it. You deserve to go out and look for stuff.
Go look for stuff.
And hopefully see you at the IMA tonight, or maybe next week. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Go Red Wings. Go Pistons. Pistons are better.
Go Colts.
And... yeah, sure, them too.
We go. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.